Welcome to the Royal Diaries, Unlocking History. My name is Felicia.
My name is Julia. We are sisters who love books, history, and talking about them both.
We're doing a deep dive into the Royal Diaries series.
Come with us as we learn about the girls who became women that shaped history.
All right, let's do this.
Let's do this. Hiatus time.
Hiatus two.
That was very intense.
So you say you have some questions? You're asking the questions this time?
Yes.
All right.
Question number one, and I thought that you could answer, and then I could answer, and then all that. Okay. Number one, what would you include that you didn't have a chance to include?
So we covered Sandok, you did Jahanara, I did Eleanor, you did Cece, and then I did Christina.
Yep.
I think there was a lot of stuff for Eleanor that I didn't really dive into in her later life with her crazy second family, the Plantagenets and Henry and all the sons and stuff, because I wanted to keep the primary focus on Eleanor, but like the stuff that happened between that family is wild, and I think it's also important to know if you're like, I don't understand the English. I think if you take the time to learn about that, you get a little bit more of a glimpse into it, because so much of what follows comes from this crazy family. I saw a meme that basically said, forget about keeping up with the Kardashians. I want to see keeping up with the Plantagenets.
I mean, for real, though. I mean, I think they were a wild bunch. And truly, like, there's not a single generation that goes by that something or someone who you're just like, wow.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole thing of like the rippling out of history and its effects. We definitely still can sort of see that today. So a lot of self-mythologizing too about being English comes out around this time too.
You know, technically the current monarchy, like they're just a bunch of Germans.
Well, I mean, and these people were like French. So
yeah, true.
Anyways, it's just, yeah, I didn't really get into a lot of other Eleanor stuff because I think her early life is wild as her whole life is just wild. So
never had a break.
Yeah, I just didn't want to talk too much about the dudes in her life and them just being crappy dudes.
And her
fathers and sons and her just trying to sort out the whole mess.
And not in like a, we need to all get along because we're family and that you're being a dumbass.
laying down the law. What about you? What didn't you include that you wanted to maybe get into a bit more?
So with Jahanara, when I said I did like a really high level overview of the Mughal Empire, it was very, very high level. Like so much stuff happened. And even though there's a little bit of a history kind of repeats itself, it's like, and once again, we have lost the kingdom and we need to roll back in here. And once again, why is this child on the throne? And once again, why is everyone yelling at each other? It still is very intense and interwoven. There's no sole book about her. So because of that, I have to do a lot of maneuvering through other people's histories.
To get to the person.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially with her. And then with Cece, I didn't get to go and talk too much about her siblings or what happened in like the couple generations after her. But it was freaking wild. I talked briefly about like left-handed marriages. And
yeah,
how
what
that
is
that? Basically means when you go and you have two people of unequal rank marrying each other. It's this whole thing of you go and you have a relationship between two people, separate ranks. But the whole thing is with the Austrian Empire was that when the Holy Roman Empire basically imploded in on itself and became like these really disparate principalities, and then Austria really goes and shows up formally again, is that there was a thing where you could only go and marry certain people from certain houses. If they had like been already like established princely noble families at the time. And that's like really skimming over it.
You think these Habsburgs would have learned their lesson considering that's what killed off the Spanish Habsburgs?
I know, but
yeah,
they love their inbreeding. And so, for example, if you go and you look at Cece's youngest daughter, who was the baby that was like, quote unquote, like the Hungarian child in her choice, she went, renounced her rights to the throne. She renounced everything because she could go and marry the guy of her own choosing. Or how you go and you have Princess Stephanie of Belgium, who was married to Crown Prince Rudolf, who, as we know, was a depressed syphilitic mess. and how she went and she ended up marrying a Hungarian count, and everybody was super scandalized that she went and she did that. But then it gets even better, because then her daughter was a socialist and basically became known as, like, the Red Countess.
Amazing.
Absolutely wild. Or it's even how, like, with Franz Ferdinand, who is... Who's Franz Ferdinand?
The dude that started the First World War.
By getting shot. So
he... Way to go, Franz.
I know, right? Well, he actually did the same thing, too. He married his wife. Even though technically she was of nobility, she was still considered, like, not to be... She was below him in rank. She wasn't from one of those older houses. She was never allowed to stand with him at any formal event. She never got her name announced. Wasn't allowed to go and eat with him or anything like that at any sort of formal court. So he was shunned for doing that. So then when it be, oh shit, he's the heir, he's like, that's right, assholes, you have to be nice to my wife now. And then he gets killed.
Yeah.
And the whole big crisis was, is that after he died, because she died in the assassination attempt too. Well, it wasn't an attempt, it was successful. Yeah. But anyways, and it's really sad. Apparently his last words to her were, you need to live for our daughters. And she's like, I'm literally bleeding out of my stomach right now, guy. I'm doing my best. It was terrible. However, she still managed to go and get buried next to him, which is really nice. She only got that honor in death and not in life. Anyways, the whole thing was wild, which kind of then leads to the second question, which is, what type of research rabbit hole did you go down? Because I clearly went down a major rabbit hole of this one.
So I had two. The first one was about Christina's mother, Maria Eleonora, because I really just wanted to find out more about who was this woman that had such an adverse reaction to finally the successful birth of a child. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this lady's deal? So I was like, there has to be more to this person to prompt that. And so it was interesting to find more about her background. You know, it's like you learn about the parents, you sort of get an understanding of either the child will try to, like, push away from those type of things, or they'll try to cling to certain things depending on which parent they like or feel they identify strongly with. So I feel like getting to know Christina's parents gave me some more understanding into Christina and her choices about, like, who she wanted to be more like. She clearly wanted to be more like her father than her mother. And then that also meant doing more research about, like, the 30 Years War. I was saying before, if you try to look at what Christina did sort of by itself, you just don't really have a full appreciation for it. And prior to this, frankly, if you were to ask me, tell me about Europe in the 1600s, Shakespeare, the Huguenots, Puritans, Dutch master paintings, maybe the Tulip Wars, and the Three Musketeers movie featuring Chris O'Donnell from the 90s.
I mean, featuring Chris O'Donnell, more like featuring Tim Curry as Cardinal Richelieu.
I can't talk about that right now.
Yeah, you can.
It's a lot.
I feel like champagne, we're on a chase.
You're right.
Something red.
So good. So there was a lot more happening at that time. And it's funny, I've talked to people about this. I'm like, do you know about the 30 Years War? And how many people are just, what? So I think for me, it was just learning more about that time period. I think especially as Canadians, as soon as, quote unquote, the discovery of the New World happens, our history books shift entirely just to being about what's happening in North America. And really, we don't really give a crap about Europe until the First World War.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Or the only way that you know about those were like, oh, this is affecting us.
Yeah.
So.
Unless there's like a direct thing there. Those were two of my sort of deeper dives for personal purposes.
That sounds a lot more productive, I think, than, oh my God, all these crazy people, wild, having these completely wild marriages.
But it's funny how you're just like, these are wild marriages, when really it's the standard of today, which is,
I really love this person.
I really want to be with this person.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that, like,
and people are like, what do you mean, personal wants and desires? Crazy.
Because that's the one thing that always sucks, when it's like, oh, this person went through so much to go and be with this person, and then it was super shitty.
Yeah.
Not that they were good people, but it's reading about how Edward the 7th, 8th, and Wallace Simpson.
Yeah, Edward the 8th.
Edward the 8th. And how, like, by the end of it, they couldn't freaking stand each other, but they're like, we can't break up.
Well, we made this commitment. We basically, both of us threw everything away for this relationship. How stupid will we look if we didn't stick it out?
Which on one hand could be a bonding point, who knows? But anyways.
But like, that's a trauma bond. Exactly. Anyways.
But so the thing is though, so reading about how for these women, these marriages were genuinely very happy. Mm. And they were actually liked and respected as people by their spouses. It's like, what a concept.
A nice difference than, you know, what happened to Cece.
Yeah. So the next question is, who is your favorite figure / character aside from our protagonist?
So as depicted in the books, I really liked Petronella, Eleanor's sister.
Oh, wow. You like the younger sibling, huh?
No, it's because she's part of the best sister relationship I've seen in these books depicted so far.
Fair enough.
So I like Jahanara's mom.
Amy was great.
Yeah, I think because considering like we don't really know a lot about her and her personality, et cetera, from IRL historical accounts, mm-hmm. I think she came through as a real formative figure in Jahanara's life, which is why her death actually felt a little bit more impactful when I was reconsidering the book. Her mom isn't just in the background and all of a sudden it's like, my mom's dead. That's sad. It's no, her mom was there and she was a character. On a personal level, there was a loss versus like symbolically you've lost your mother.
Kind of like in the way how with, for me, I actually really did like Eleanor's dad. He's so close to being like another in the pantheon of the series, like shitty dads.
Yeah.
The thing is like he starts off being a shitty dad, but he's, I don't want to be a shitty dad anymore. I don't want to be a shitty person anymore. I'm gonna actually like try to change who I am as a person. And you know, even as I'm older, I'm like, wow, I feel so cynical that this is touching, but it is. You
know? But then he's like,
I'm gonna die.
Yeah, he's like, I know how to compound me becoming a better person. I'll go on pilgrimage and die. And I'm like, no!
It was all about to work out. I know.
The writing convention in Sandok where she's writing notes to her grandmother, mm-hmm. like into her ancestral jar. In a way, the grandmother actually
major character
becomes like a character in a strange way, mm-hmm. Which I didn't even think about until like just now, but I appreciated that and how you were, but then in your question is about favorite character person aside from protagonist. I will say in terms of an antagonist, the Chinese astronomer dude
is the worst freaking bitch. He's like the
who actually is
a life ruiner.
A life ruiner. So I think he's a pretty good villain.
Yeah, he, like literally,
like in terms of actual conflicty people, he is a good Disney villain.
Yeah, he ruins Sondak's life. He ruins her mom's life. He ruins her sibling's life. He ruins her dad's life.
He ruins the astronomer of Korea's life. He makes them look like dumbasses.
Exactly.
So actually, he does a great job of being like, the worst.
The villain. Yeah, indeed.
So. Like,
the final question then for us. Of the books you've covered in this half, so of these five books, which one stands out as the best that's more worth reading?
Okay, so let's be real. Sandok is the book both of us did not see coming.
It's true.
The characterization, compelling plot, mixed with the right note of historical stuff, but historical fiction, you know, that's a fine, mm-hmm. fine balance. That made it a standout for me, especially because I don't consider the first time I read this when I was a child as the first time I read that. Maybe I read it, but did I read it?
Did you appreciate
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so I like past me didn't know what she was doing when I didn't consider that book seriously. I actually want to reread it when we're done this entire project just to see if it still stands up, mm-hmm. kind of. And I bet it will. I'd say Sandok for me.
I would say Sandok for me too. I mean, the themes, the imagery, how it develops, like
Sandok as a character, for me, she strikes that balance of showing that push-pull between masculine and feminine gender roles and conventions and then different religious beliefs and mm-hmm. old ways of doing things versus the new way of doing things and individuality versus family and mm-hmm. the collective, like all these different things that just think they carry through to this day. So
yeah. And now I kind of want to go and throw you a last minute curveball because that was just such a decisive, like, boom, our favorite. Of the primary texts that you read for, like, research, which one would you say would just be a fun one to read?
Well, the one that I read for Sandok is the history of Korea, but the way that he approaches it is really neat. It's not chronological order. It's mm-hmm. almost thematic order.
That's always fun.
So that was really cool. I'm not like you. I'm not, like, whipping out six books per book. No, I pick my one book. That's it.
Okay, I want to, but...
Okay, but I will say this, though. The book I read for Christina, the lady's last name is Buckley. It's really funny because sometimes you read a historian's stuff and they're overly enamored with their subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have it, almost like that subjectivity.
Yeah.
This lady is not a fan of Christina, so it was interesting to read her, like, critical lens on mm-hmm. different things, so I appreciated that. And then, obviously, I know Alison Weir, for some reason, is a really polarizing figure in historical stuff, but I don't care. Her Eleanor book was a great read. I enjoyed it, so I would say the History of Korea book that I read, though. If you're like me, where base knowledge of Korea, and I want an overview, but I don't want to read through the chronological Wikipedia page of Korea,
mm-hmm.
I recommend that one.
Yeah.
What about you?
Mine is also a book where, oh, you pick that as a way of doing it, but you actually learn a lot, is the book on Mughal architecture.
Mm.
The way how it is done chronologically. Oh, like, this is just going to be about buildings, but no, it's about economics, it's about religion, it's about, like, a developing of an aesthetic style. It's so much more is going on there. It's interesting how one building gets started, but then it has to go and get stops, and how does it go and get picked up, and then how does, like, that different person's values end up going and changing it, and how do we get to the peak of this really iconic style to an architecture that is still around and is so still influential and everything like that. Like, I was actually talking about this with our mother recently, because we were watching a show called Impossible Engineering or something, and it basically goes and takes a really wild piece of engineering / architecture, like, how did they do that, and then going through different historical periods. Well, they actually drew from this part of history to then go make this part of the building possible and stuff like that. So they were looking at, like, the Osaka airport, which, if you've never Wikipedia the Osaka airport, it's wild. And then I was sitting here thinking, like, is someone to tell, like, Julia, what do you know about engineering? Nothing. However, I learned more about engineering principles and engineering history in those 45 minutes than I ever had in my whole life. And it was so fascinating. I think that architectural and engineering history is actually a really fascinating way of exploring and contextualizing. And then also, if you're like me, expanding your mind. So,
yeah, and understanding the things that people create is emblematic of what they value.
Well, and also, like, the technology that they will use to go and figure it out. How did they go and figure out how to go and make these absolutely massive domes without them falling in? It's like, well, there are principles and natures that they figured out.
Yeah, it's the marrying of arts and sciences, essentially.
Exactly.
Cool. So before we go, just want to say hey to all the new people who are following us.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to see you here. And to anybody who has enjoyed our stuff, please like, review, and share it so that more people can experience the wonders of the Royal Diaries. Hilariously, someone tweeted and said, Royal Diaries, I've never heard of them. I'm like, oh, I'm like, this is a millennial gateway drug to history.
Pretty much.
So if you know someone who's remotely millennial gateway drug into history, this sounds like them, they might be into us. So let them know.
Definitely.
And let us know what you like. And if we make you smile at least once, let us know, because then that makes us smile.
Exactly.
Okay.
I guess, yeah, so hiatus episode is over.
Complete. Bye.
Bye. Follow us for more research, fun facts, soundtracks, and aesthetic posts. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Twitter at Royal Diaries Pod.